Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on a Red Friday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, getting set for Chiefs-Texans tomorrow. Divisional round matchup, Kansas City, an 8.5-point favorite against the Texans. A spot in the AFC title game on the line. You can hear it right here on 96.5 The Fan. Today we are broadcasting up at Rally House in North Kansas City, or north of Kansas City, and the Barry Woods Road location. And if you go to Barry Road off I-29, Barry Woods Crossing, you'll find Rally House. I think we've said it a few times today, but everybody's agreed when they've walked in, they're like, this is the biggest Rally House I've ever seen in my life. They have everything you need for Chiefs postseason action, everything you need for playoff gear. They also have, as we've been highlighting throughout, some really cool KC Wiz gear, too, that we both like. We were just looking during the break.
Cody, we can't buy the same hoodie.
Cody tried on a Charlie Hustle
white
jacket.
Satin jacket.
He's like, can I pull it off? I was like,
You were 50-50 on it. I think maybe I could pull it off, but I'm going to have to start looking like I actually know how to style myself every once in a while.
Yeah. Someone on the text line said, I thought about bringing some alcohol to you guys at Rally House. Well, there is no Club 965 or Fan Club today because we are on location. I don't think we're supposed to drink alcohol inside of the store.
I mean, would they have said anything if you just did like a quick fireball shot and you and I had a beer?
No. No, but we didn't get that cleared, so we're doing a normal 1 o'clock hour, if that makes sense. And see, if we did that, then we'd have stuff flying off the shelf, like what just happened over there. That would have been the thing, man.
I would have just started knocking stuff over.
You would have.
So there is a nice hoodie over there that we were both eyeing. But again, we can't buy the same hoodie because the risk of us showing up to work dressed the same will look like idiots.
Well, you buy the jacket, I'll buy the hoodie.
Problem solved. Either way, if you need gear, come on up to Rally House. I mentioned this in the interview with Patrick Creighton. The news out earlier, Jeremy Fowler says that the Chiefs are expected to start Joe Tooney at left tackle. Your initial response was, thank God.
Yeah.
And I think, look, I'm not, maybe not that strong with it, but I think that this is the right move for a variety of reasons. One, I watched him against Houston, and he held his own. He did a nice job against Will Anderson. He did a nice job against Danielle Hunter. And the offensive line held up in a game in which they won. I also think that they've had to start playing a different style of offense since to switch to Joe Tooney. And I don't want them having to flip-flop back and forth and trying to reinvent the wheel. And honestly, it stinks because injuries happen and you paid $4.5 million. And yeah, you flushed it. This is money that is not going to end up helping you get what you wanted out of the left tackle play. But you went to the option that was way down your list, you started Joe Tooney, and it went better than you thought. So why go back on it now? This isn't if it's not broke, don't fix it thing. And the offensive line's not broken with him. It's not some superior offensive line of unbeatable status, but it's fine.
Right. I think overall this week, because Andy publicly didn't give an answer, and still hasn't, let me remind you, this was just a report, even though no reason to believe it's not true, that we made this more complicated than what I think a decision it really should have been for some of the reasons you pointed out. Like, you know what you had in Joe Tooney against this same team as well in the Texans, and you know what level of play you got against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. I think we all acknowledge that their initial plan once they brought in Humphreys was, of course, for him to be left tackle and for the all-pro left guard Joe Tooney to play left guard. But things change, injuries happen, and then suddenly a player is placed in a spot and he performs well, and you pivot. As we've said all along, I don't think Joe Tooney is a long-term answer at left tackle. He's had his entire career to be a left tackle. He's never been one long-term, so he's not going to happen now. But during this run,
he is
their best option right now. If there was some other injury on the O-line, and then you wouldn't have a choice. Like, hope this doesn't happen. If Caliendo got hurt, well, then obviously Joe Tooney would have to go to left guard, and DJ Humphreys would have to go to left tackle. I think we understand that kind of stuff could happen.
And at least he's fully healthy. So, like, that option is available to you. The depth is still there.
Right. But you're right. I there was a sense of relief when I saw the report from Jeremy Fowler, because I would have had one thing to be nervous about Saturday if DJ Humphries was playing, and it would have been DJ Humphries playing left tackle. And now I'm very confident and not concerned about this game tomorrow. And I know some of you, that scares you a little bit, that, hey, you know, we got to remember all the past postseason voodoo, Colts game, etc., the no-punt game, all that. Like, that stuff was pre-Mahomes. We got to stop thinking that that kind of stuff is just going to pop back up. I'm not saying the Chiefs are never going to lose a playoff game, okay? Not saying that.
Part of me is starting to question that a little bit.
Well, it's a divisional round weekend, maybe, you know, where Mahomes is 6-0. I'm very confident heading into this game tomorrow. I don't know how you can't be confident. I'm not saying that you can't be nervous. How are you not confident to a certain extent? This is the Chiefs played this team and beat them comfortably a few weeks ago. The Chiefs are fresher than anybody else in football right now. They're healthier than anybody else in football right now. They have the best quarterback than anybody else in football. Come postseason time, nobody's been better. I understand he's not going to win MVP this year. That's going to be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. But in the playoffs, who is still the best quarterback?
Who's the man?
Yeah. It's Patrick Mahomes, with the best head coach in the league, with the best tight end in the league.
We agree that if you're starting Joe Tooney in this game, then he started the rest of the way, right? Like, we're not, like, it's not Humphries on accident in the AFC title game.
If Joe Tooney plays,
Joe Tooney's a starter.
He's the starter. I honestly think, barring a complete, like, an injury, at this point, if the Chiefs are going to continue on this run, today, the decision reportedly today or whatever, that's it. That tells us.
Yeah. They're good. Joe Tooney's it. And look, if they could go back in time and not sign DJ Humphries to $4.5 million, I'm sure they'd do it. But I'll be honest, would they? Because I don't hate the idea that is still, because like we talked about it one way, but it could go the other way too. Let's say they win this game, but it is under Joe Tooney duress. For the first time ever, Joe Tooney is just like, he's a turnstile.
Yeah, I don't think they win, I guess. What I'm saying, if that happens, they don't win the game, probably.
But let's just say they do, right?
And they would have already put DJ Humphries
in. They won a lot of regular season games this year where they had a turnstile at left tackle and still won.
Yeah.
So he's a turnstile and they still win. I mean, they could still go to Humphries the same way as we said they could go to Tooney, and Tooney is the safer play today. So, like, there's nothing – I still don't think going back and forth is the play anyway, but nothing stops that from being the other way around if for some reason Tooney is all of a sudden out of nowhere a liability. It's good for the Chiefs. They're stable at left tackle. They got a guy who's not going to screw it up. They are now more stable at corner because Jalen Watson is back, and that is a good thing. Like, they are in as good of a position as they could possibly be in, other than the people who they lost for the year. This is as healthy as they could conceivably be and as comfortable as they could conceivably be roster-wise, again, other than the people they've lost for the year.
And then Jalen Watson's back. That's the other aspect on the defensive side. I don't think anybody outside of Kansas City knows how good Jalen Watson was and how different this defense was when he was available up until mid-October, whenever that injury occurred. And he's back tomorrow and is going to get a decent amount of snaps. I don't know if it'll be 100% or whatever, but he's going to get a nice chunk of snaps. And against a team that doesn't have Tank Dell, where really their only downfield threat at all is Nico Collins, that's massive. It allows Trent McDuffie to have some more flexibility. I feel very good about Jalen Watson being back for this team, and that's a guy that if you're wondering how do you elevate, how is the matchup if the Chiefs take care of business tomorrow, how does the matchup against Buffalo look different? Someone like Jalen Watson can be a difference in that. This is huge for the run. It's not even just about tomorrow.
It's big for the Super Bowl, depending on the wide receivers left.
Yeah, the context of the three-peat is why it's big, having Jalen Watson for this run. And you would like to think each week that he plays, so the next 2 weeks before Super Bowl, you'd like to think he's only going to get more comfortable and better. Who was it the other day? Trent McDuffie. We played that here on the show, and he was talking about how basically Jalen Watson looks like Jalen Watson out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, obviously there's game speed stuff that's, you know, maybe it takes a drive to adjust. I don't know. If I'm the Texans, I would probably test him right away just to see if I'd get an idea of where he's at.
Oh, I would too. I'd probably test him deep. Honestly,
you know,
right
yeah, away. Just to see.
The same routes that they were picking on Nazi Johnson with.
But otherwise, they looks like Jalen Watson out there.
I expect, based on what Nate Taylor wrote in The Athletic yesterday, if you didn't know, you could hear Nate Taylor Tuesdays on this show and throughout the week here on 96.5 The Fan as our Chiefs insider. But what he wrote yesterday certainly makes it seem like at least 50% of the snaps for Jalen Watson, maybe more like 60 or 70% of the snaps for Jalen Watson. And, yeah, so that, I don't know. I know that Chiefs fans hate it. I know that playoff nerves kick up. Gold, I know when you're at the game tomorrow, you're going to feel this, like, impending pressure of, oh, you know, like the playoffs are here. I, for this game in particular, not all the games, not every playoff game, for this game in particular, this is as relaxed as I have been for a Chiefs playoff game in, like, years. Every part of the Chiefs' history, the Texans' history, this season, who they are, what they're capable of, tells me they're winning this game. So if I think it is a humongous upset to lose this game, and I'm with you in that it would take so many things going wrong all at once for them to lose it. And you remember a couple of years ago we said this about maybe a Texans playoff game. I don't remember the one. You know, I said the same thing about a playoff game. Miami's last year, whatever.
I think it was Miami last year, honestly.
But it was like, yeah. There's been a couple of times where we've said, like, it takes a lot going wrong. And there was a regular season game we said that about, and everything went wrong, right? They, like, fumbled the ball, and there were, like, multiple picks, and 1,000 things went wrong, and it was still a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
I'm looking at different websites are putting out their predictions, you know, for all the games, and your folks over at Underdog or whatever put out their predictions and everything, and two people, one, I'll be honest, I don't know who the other, I know one of the names, I don't know the other person, James Palmer, we all know James Palmer.
James Palmer chose Texans.
He picked the Texans, which is fine. Again, that's different than Greg Jennings saying they're going to get blown out. That's fine,
sure.
You can pick the Texans. And then somebody, no disrespect, I don't know who this other guy is, Coley Mick, I don't know who that is. Like,
it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
He picked the Texans too, I have no idea, but James Palmer is the biggest name I've seen that's pick the Texans, other than Greg Jennings, who's gave a ridiculous reason for it. And then some of the other games, like one person picked the Commanders to beat the Lions this weekend. Gilbert Arenas. Yes, that Gilbert Arenas. And other than that, the Bills-Ravens one, of course, is the most split of the entire weekend. We'll give our official predictions a little bit, but I thought that was interesting just in terms of, like, how serious people are taking the Texans. You know, I mean, we just had Patrick on from Houston. Like, no, he thinks the Texans are winning that game either. Anybody you talk to in Houston, I don't know any of them that actually think, other than players, media people, that really think the Texans are winning this game.
Well, let's look at the flip side. We've spent a lot of time, I think, the last 3 days worrying about the AFC. One, because the Chiefs are in the AFC, and because the biggest game of the weekend is on the AFC side between the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, and all of the history and everything on the line for those two franchises, and we all think they're going to take on the Chiefs next week, etc. NFC side, let's go game to game. Let's take on the two and say what we think is going to happen in this. Let's go on the one that most people are less likely to predict an upset in. That is the Commanders game. What chance do you legitimately give the Commanders to go to Detroit, a team who's been the best team in the NFC all season, and actually win it? I weirdly, and you know me, I was hesitant on, not like that I thought the Commanders could do it, but with any new team who's on the scene, give me a little bit of time. I thought the Bucs would win. I thought the Bucs could give a challenge to a couple teams in the playoffs. Jaden Daniels, a lot like I mentioned with that Texans thing with Mahomes, he is very showing. No quarterback has had this good of an efficiency on the road in NFL history as a rookie. No quarter, like, he is doing things that most people don't do. I give them a 30-35% chance to beat Detroit. I'm going to pick Detroit to win the game.
Gotcha.
But because of Jaden Daniel and the offensive weapons that they have, I do give them a legitimate chance. The thing is that Detroit, who is having defensive trouble too, they've settled in a little bit too. Like, they're not as flawed as they were right after losing Aiden Hutchinson and a million other players. So they seem to have settled in, but the Lions are the better team. But I don't rule the Commanders out.
Whoever would have lost that Sunday night game a couple weeks ago, and the Vikings did, I told you I was going to pick against the next round, and that was the Rams against the Vikings, and I thought whoever that was, that team would be beat up. We talked about it. The Vikings end up losing. The Lions are a different team now, though, because they got the rest. That was why it was so crucial for that Sunday night game. They're getting some guys back that have been hurt. They had an early bye like Kansas City. I don't like this at all for the Commanders, as much as, like, I like Jaden Daniels, and the Commanders are a great story, and their fans dealt with a terrible owner for 25, 30 years.
It is easy to root for the Commanders because of it.
And I know the Lions haven't won a whole lot either, but, you know, they're at least been doing this for a couple years now, whereas the Commanders is their first taste of anything in a while. I just don't think the Commanders defense has an answer at all for Detroit's defense. So if you're asking a percentage of an upset, 10%. I'd give the Lions a 10% chance of being knocked off this weekend. I can't go any higher than that. I don't even think the Lions are covering, or excuse me, the Commanders are covering this weekend. I think,
you think
the Commanders can't stop that offense. That defense is awful. And that's
Gibbs.
Again, Jane Daniels can be great, but I think he's going to be under so much pressure because it's going to be basically like, you better score every drive kind of thing. Because I think that's what the Lions might be capable of
doing. And he might
hang
doing that for a little while, man.
First half?
He might.
You know, I just, in a weird way, I think it's even. It's crazy because the Chiefs are the back-to-back champs, and the Chiefs have the track record in the postseason. The Lions don't. I almost think this would be an even bigger upset. I really believe that. Like
point-wise, you're not wrong.
You know,
like,
I told you.
I mean,
I think
they're close.
I told you. I think the Texans are worse than the Commanders, but they're very close. So, I would argue, considering the Lions, everybody talks start to finish almost was the best team in football. People didn't really start buying into the Chiefs nationally until
last.
They
just lost so many players, man.
But they got some of them back.
Yeah, they did. Including Montgomery this weekend.
You know, and not Aiden Hutchinson. You're right. I don't think this game's going to be as competitive. That's the one where I would like to be wrong because I like the Commanders. But I feel better about the Rams pulling off the upset, obviously, than the Eagles. I'm on the Rams to cover, and I'm on the Rams to win outright. That's my upset of the weekend.
On the other side. Yeah. The weather in Philly is supposed to be interesting, to say the least. Sirianni, I hated on him the whole year. Never bought into him. Like I told you before the season, they were either going to win 13 games or win 5. They won 13. They went on the other side of that mark. Saquon is a legitimately great fit. I just think, like, McVay and Stafford got it, man. Like, this is vibes and vibes only. Like, I'll just be honest with you. Those are two teams in which if you look at the talent on paper for the entire teams, the Eagles have the better roster. But I just like McVay and Stafford better in this game than I like Hurts and Sirianni.
A lot of experience.
I picked the Eagles to go before, so, like, I don't know, I guess. But, like, I got to – this is a true 50-50 game. The only one of the entire weekend for me. It's about the same. I take it.
I was going to say, this is more 50-50
I think
than
it's
Baltimore?
But I think it's like that game. I don't know who's going to win it. It's a 50-50 game. Like, I truly don't know who's coming out victorious, and I'm not going to be surprised either way.
Yeah, I don't view it as a 50-50 game. I mean, I'm taking the Rams to win, but I will admit it's not it's an upset pick. Like, I don't think it's a 50-50 game. Whereas Bills Ravens truly true coin flip. Bills or Ravens, I don't think anybody you can make a case on either side to win. I think it's a bit more of a, I don't want to call it a stretch, but with the Rams, like you definitely have to talk yourself into it way more than picking Bills or Ravens in the winter. You're like, okay, well, obviously, if you pick the Bills, like nobody's calling you crazy. You pick the Ravens, nobody's calling you crazy. You pick the Rams, someone might be like, okay, come on. If you pick the Commanders, like, okay, what are you doing? You know, those are definitely not coin flip type of games. I think in that matchup with the Rams, the weather is going to be a factor. And what do you think that does to Saquon and Jalen Hurts? You know, short yard situations, does that favor them? You're talking about throwing the ball in this weather? I like Matthew Stafford. He's got a cannon still, even at 36 years old.
He sure does.
He can throw. Remember, it's not the fact that it snows. It's not a problem. It's how windy is it. That is always a thing we talk about with betting all the time with the lines and everything, Cody.
Unless you're Tua's record in the cold.
Sure.
Or whatever, you know?
It's windy, though. You know,
or Derek Carr's.
It can be snowing. That's actually fine. You know, heck, Mahomes joked he's a snow game guy. And I'm talking about Philly, not Kansas City. Before anybody freaks out, don't worry. We're not getting serious.
It'll just be cold.
It's just going to be cold. It's the wind that's always more of like the consideration of if that's going to impact how you think a quarterback's going to perform. And I think Matthew Stafford, who didn't get hit a whole lot against the Vikings because of the way that game went, I think he's feeling good. I think they're confident. They also have, you know, I know we say that, you know, L.A., their fans, there's so many entertainment options, like who are really Rams fans, et cetera. I do think with the unfortunate and terrible stuff going on out there with the wildfires, I do think in a weird way the support and everybody – is closer when something like that happens. And I do think there's a locker room advantage to that, what that does. Like, I do buy into teams being closer in the middle of tragedy and terrible things that everybody can relate to in your city. And the Rams have that. I don't want to say going for them, but you know what I mean. Like, they have that aspect to them right now that I actually think brings the team closer that could help them. And I like the Rams to win.
I think it's a 50, like, I understand the line does not suggest it's a 50-50 game. I think it's a 50-50 game for those reasons. Yeah, again,
so you're taking the Rams to cover at least. And if you think it's yeah, okay.
Yes. I absolutely like the Rams to cover. No doubt about that.
Spread six and a half right now, guys.
If the Rams came out with a win, I would not be stunned.
It's got see, that's what's interesting. So it's
too high to me.
But it keeps
it's a weird number.
It keeps going up though. It was 5.5, 6.5, and I think this is weather related. There's a lot of people thinking that you know, Barkley and Jalen Hurts, I mean, they already do the tush push. Then you add in the weather, and it's like, okay, well, they can just, you know, Barkley and Tush push it away down the field. And the line keeps going up because of that. So thanks for the heads up, Drew. Yeah, that's another half point.
If they keep on doing if they really did that, that'd be disgusting. If they just are, oh, well, we're going to Tush push our way.
And I can just cover the full touchdown.
Well, now, yeah, I mean, if it's 6.5, you're right. You can buy a half point and get it up to 7. Now we're in that territory. That's why my teaser for the weekend is Rams teased up to 12.5, although – Now I have a bad number. I could have got even better. 12. It would be 13.5 now. But Rams plus 12.5. You tease it with the Chiefs down. You tease the Chiefs to minus 2.5. It's minus 134 is what you're looking at. So all of a sudden you need the Chiefs to win by 3. The Rams to stay within 12.5 points. I feel good about that teaser this week. It's one of my favorite teasers.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, and again, it just depends on what we think are actually going to happen in those NFC games. I know we're going to talk more about the Chiefs, give our official prediction brought to you by Volkswagen Lee Summit here in just a minute. Can I very briefly bring up the continued rumors of Deion to the Cowboys?
Oh, because I love it. I love it.
I'll be honest, it seems even more likely than it did 48 hours ago. They're all, like, openly flirting with each other, like they legitimately hope this happens. And Colorado doesn't seem to want to give Deion, like, the money he wants in order to build whatever roster he wants. Because they don't have the money, probably,
right,
to just be a top NIL team forever.
It's not even just that he wants a new deal. He's asking the athletic director there for additional money for NIL and his staff. And reports from Jane Slater over at NFL Network are that he's been met with resistance, that the University of Colorado is not confirming or denying that, of course. And Deion did not respond when he was asked for comment. But that's something to watch. That would make it more likely if that's true. But I still think all parties, including the university, we're talking about leverage, right? I think Deion is using Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones is using Deion for attention. I think the University of Colorado is also going to play the game here a little bit too.
Yeah.
Although they shouldn't. if I'm Colorado, I'm finding a way to, hey, you want to continue to be relevant the way we're relevant right now? We better find some money for some NIL funds. It's not even Deion flat out asking for a raise, although I think that's part of this too. But he wants his staff members to get some more money, and we'll see. But I think everybody's, you know, playing each other a little bit here. But the odds of Deion going to Dallas, if this is true, of course, have gone up a little bit. Now, he has to get offered the job. Let's be very clear. Like, he also has to be offered the job. Everybody's like, just assuming, like, if Deion wants it, it's his. No, Jerry Jones.
Jerry's got to be convinced.
And I'm sure Jerry loves the attention, but is that the right, you know, is that the right hire? There's no doubt Jerry Jones will drag this out as long as possible. He loves the fact that everybody, it's the only way the Cowboys on January 17th are being discussed, because they're sure as hell not in the playoffs.
When's the last time the Cowboys, I mean, they've been a 12 team. I was about to say, when's the last time the Cowboys are relevant? They were in an NFC title game not that long ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not last year, though, right?
They weren't. Last year is when they got embarrassed by the Packers.
Oh, that was a couple years ago. 2022, maybe?
House.
I might be wrong.
It's been two plus. Was that the game where Dak and they lost track of time?
I think so, yeah.
Probably.
Where he ran
bad teams, man. Yeah. Bad organizations, which is what the Cowboys.
Yeah, he ran Drew, and he didn't. They didn't have time to spike it or whatever. He handed the ball to the ref or something. I can't remember.
Not an NFC title game. The furthest they've made is a divisional round game in 2022. They have lost in the wild card in 2023 and 2021. They haven't been to an NFC title game since they won the Super Bowl in 1995.
Dang.
That's why it's like the 19. I know the America's team comes from, hey, they're, you know, marketing and dollars and TV ratings and all that. But now that the Chiefs are doing that thing, I still don't. I know people in Dallas.
America's team.
No, you're not America's team anymore. Sorry. And they're like, well, it's not about winning. It's not just about winning. But if you're going to tell me it's about marketing and TV dollar or TV ratings, well, then that's what the Chiefs are now, too. And they're winning. So, yeah.
Especially with Taylor Swift. Hell, if they weren't America's team before.
Yeah,
I saw Gracie Hunt was like, she did an interview with a magazine, and she said that she thinks internally they think that
what
there's been a 30% boost in the Chiefs, like social media numbers, everything else because of Taylor Swift. Like like everything's up like 30%.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because Taylor Swift's existence.
The Cowboys just are not, you know. Jerry Jones is a great marketer, you know.
He is. He really is.
That's what he is. But
so is Deion Sanders for that point. Yeah. Pair them together. They're both great marketers.
The America's Team thing is always funny because it's like, you know, Cowboys fans get very upset when you push back on it. And they're like, well, it's not just about winning. Yeah, but I'll show you a team in Kansas City that's doing both winning and has everything that you are telling me it means to be America's Team.
Yeah.
So
if you don't think Kansas City doesn't have fans coast to coast before, they did.
No doubt.
But now, get out of here.
Absolutely. All right. We'll get to what's trending coming up. We'll get you updated on a couple of things going out there. We'll also have our predictions, as you said, for this week, and not just the Chiefs game, but we kind of gave you some as well. But let's talk more about that Bills-Ravens game on top of it as we continue broadcasting live from Rally House here in Barry Woods Crossing.
What's trending? You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on What's Trending, it is Red Friday in Kansas City. Chiefs, Texans tomorrow, 3:30 kickoff at Arrowhead. You can hear the game on your home for the Chiefs right here, 96.5 The Fan. Pregame coverage starts at 9 a.m. Mac and Drew get things going. Then we go into Chiefs Network pregame, of course, the game. There'll also be extended postgame coverage tomorrow night right here on 96.5 The Fan with Logan Weber. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to Logan, he's our newest host of the station. He'll be doing nights. He'll be filling in. He'll be doing some of our extended coverage tomorrow night as the Chiefs hopefully are talking about a win and getting set to wait the winner of Bills-Ravens for Sunday Night Football.
Next up on What's Trending, Joe Tooney is set to start at left tackle, according to Jeremy Fowler over at ESPN. Adam Schefter retweeted if you needed some sort of double down on what their plan is at left tackle. But Cole Hardman was listed as doubtful for the game officially on the injury report. Jalen Watson as questionable. They still technically have to make a roster move in order to put Jalen Watson on there, but nobody expects that they won't. He, according to Nate Taylor, is expected to start tomorrow if you just want to know where everyone is. Joe Mixon, though, for the Texans, did not practice yesterday for Houston in their final practice of the week. His final 3 days went full participant, limited participant, did not practice yesterday. So we'll be keeping an eye on Joe Mixon as well on for Saturday's game.
Tomorrow, a little local college basketball before the Chiefs take the field. KU K-State Sunflower Showdown at noon over on the Fan AM. So you'll listen on the Fan AM for that. The Jayhawks 14.5 point favorites against the Wildcats. As Kansas State struggling, KU not playing great. Also news today, KJ Adams has a separated shoulder. He's
seems
week
bad.
To week.
He's one of the only players playing okay for Kansas.
Yeah. Yep. He's going to be forced to work in some of the guys that people think should get some more playing time.
AJ Storr's about to get 25 minutes, so prepare
yourself. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, honestly.
Prepare accordingly. Next up on What's Trending, the Miami Dolphins will be hosting their first ever game in Madrid, Spain next season. It's obviously the NFL's first ever game in Madrid. That was announced earlier today as they continue to announce their plans for international games in the NFL. But Miami will be heading to Madrid. I like all these different new cities. These kind of changes up for a while. It's kind of like every London game was like, yeah, I got it. You played a lot of games in London.
Yeah, we know they're going to continue to play international games. I know I told you the only thing I hate is the season ticket holders and the way they do that. You know, you lose a home game. I know there's an extra home game, but you still are losing a home game kind of thing. I think that bums out some. But from a fan, if your team's not playing overseas that year, I don't know why you care all that much. But the Chiefs might be playing overseas next year. Also, from Roger Goodell today, he told Bloomberg that adding an 18th regular season game while cutting one preseason game is the next logical step. That, of course, would require a deal with the players. He said, we went 16-4, now 17-3, so 18-2 is a logical step. So that's what the league is going to be trying to convince the players of. Hey, we'll cut it down to two preseason games if you give us 18 NFL regular season games. That'll be something that the next CBA or before will be debated. That is what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold as we continue broadcasting from Rally House, Barry Woods Crossing location, I-29 and Barry Road, getting set for some Chiefs football tomorrow. This is the spot to stock up, to gear up, get set for the back-to-back-to-back campaign. You can go to any of the 16 KC Metro locations, of course, also online at rallyhouse.com. It's very difficult to do a four-hour show here and not end up buying.
Are you going
to
buy that
multiple
hoodie?
Things. Like, there's, I got three or four things that I'm going. I haven't bought anything yet, but I'm saying, like, I'm not going to buy four things. My point is, like, I got three or four things I got to decide between. I'm eyeing that hoodie that we looked at.
Okay.
There's also this tumbler or whatever that I kind of like over here, too. So there's a couple things, but it's definitely the spot.
Get a new water bottle for your workout regimen.
I'm
you
going
know?
To the gym after the show today.
That's after the show today?
Nice. There you go.
That's the plan.
He said, I went earlier in the week. It was the way you said it, though. Like, that's my plan.
Well, because
I get it. Like, by the time you drive home, get the dog.
I also got to run back to the state. I also have to record something. You know, so it's like by the time next thing you know, it's four. Like, and then am I willing to go after dinner? So that's got to figure it out. But that's the plan, Drew. That's the plan.
I hope you get
good stuff.
We'll get to our predictions coming up before we get out of here in just a bit. What did you make though of? What we've heard, I guess, the last couple days from whether it's the Houston Texans perspective when we had Patrick Creighton join us earlier. We heard from Mike Shope in Buffalo to get his perspective on the Chiefs, but also, of course, Bills and Ravens. Having heard all the national noise, having a chance all week to talk about these games, is there anything that's, like, I guess, surprised you as we've led into this game where we think about the Joe Tooney decision. Okay, we got that figured out. We've talked about Jalen Watson. We've talked about on the bigger picture. Okay, MVP debate, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Is there anything that's changed this week based as we've started to learn some more information about any of these AFC games?
No, I feel the same way as I did kind of going into them. I've talked to myself more into the Rams being closer to the Eagles probably as time gone on. I still think the Chiefs are the far superior team to the Texans. I still think that the Lions are the superior team to the Commanders. I give the Commanders a puncher's chance, 30-35%, like I had said. But there's no part of what's taken place this week that gives me less confidence in Kansas City. That's for sure.
No, because they got everybody healthy, too. I mean, obviously, Mecole Hardman's the only injury now. I mean, he's the only injury. Other than that, they're healthier than they have been. And we already discussed how more confident I am that Joe Tooney is playing. I was also thinking about some of the players that are either going – there's not many that are going through their first postseason run. Xavier Worthy's one of them. There's a lot of guys that are going through their second, third, fourth postseason run. And you have a core group of Mahomes, Kelsey, and Jones where it's even more than that. And who can benefit, whether we're talking financial, whether we're talking legacy, or anything else, if we separate it down to financial, it's obvious Trent McDuffie has the most financially to gain by having a strong postseason and going back to back to back. He's the financial answer. Legacy-wise, it'll still always be Andy Reid and Mahomes for me, like who can benefit the most legacy, because with all due respect, we're not talking about the legacy of an offensive lineman. We're talking about, when we talk legacy, we're thinking quarterback and coach, typically, and Chris Jones to a certain extent. So I separate of, like, who has the most to gain. It's the financial end is one player, McDuffie. Legacy's the core guys. And that's kind of it. Like, in terms of saving your job, I mean, like, I don't think if Nick Bolton goes out and has a great postseason, I don't think the Chiefs are more likely to give him $15 million.
No.
Trent McDuffie, though, the number could only go up.
Well, I already think he's going to be the highest paid corner in NFL history, and then somebody else will break that a year later, and Derek Stingley or somebody else in the league or whatever. He's going to be the highest paid corner in football. The most interesting guy from a pay perspective, in my opinion, is Trey Smith. If
he's also already going to get top market.
No, but by Kansas City. Like, do you go through an offensive line postseason where Joe Tooney's got to play left tackle, which means you're weaker at left guard, which means the center is weaker, and you're relying even more on Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith to be that interior push, that interior hold. And if they hold up, if they're a dominant force together, and I don't – this is like a side note. Mostly teams don't pay attention to this, but I would a little bit if I were team building. Him and Creed Humphrey are like best friends, dude.
They are.
They're like pushing cars out of the snow together, starring in commercials together. They are best friends. And I think sometimes, like, if you're a team and you're team building and you talk about paying the guys in-house who have earned it.
I don't think they can do it.
And the structure of Tooney's contract, where at least if you backed off the first year of being very much money for Trey Smith, you might be able to ride out the time where, like, you're not paying both Joe Tooney and Trey Smith at the same time.
Yeah, but it got trickier, though, because Joe Tooney has a year left on his deal. I doubt he's playing at the final year of his deal next year. Like, if I'm Joe Tooney, especially now you're having me play tackle, Joe Tooney's going to want a new deal, in my opinion, in the offseason. I don't believe Joe Tooney's just going to agree to play out
the final. You think he's going to play out the final year of his deal?
I think they're
going to. And honest to God, you kind of have to pay Tooney because somebody does.
I think they're going to have to do something there. I do not believe Trey Smith will be on the team next year. Not anything of his doing. It's just the fact that he's going to be the most sought-after guard. We had the audio from Mike Gennetti that was on with CDOT a couple weeks ago, and he said that other than T. Higgins, he has Trey Smith as his 1B free agent in the entire offseason. It just tells you what the market's going to be. The Chiefs are not going to be able to swim
in those
waters.
I mean, they have two of the best guards. They're going to have the two best guards on the free agency market.
They're not going to be swimming in those waters at the guard market. They're willing to do that kind of
they did it with Tooney
dollar amount. Yeah, but that was also before some of the – Chris Jones had not gotten paid at this point.
Before they paid Juwan Taylor, before they paid Creed Humphrey.
I think it's a little bit different.
And they're going to have to pay a left tackle.
Yeah. Like, Trent McDuffie is priority number one for me getting paid this offseason. Get that deal done. Get in front of some of the guys you mentioned, Derek Stingley Jr. and others. I know left tackle positionally is a priority.
Too, by the way.
But I think, yeah. And luckily, Carl Loftus, I'll say, like, he's not going to get top market. He's going to get a nice payday. You're not going to have to pay him, like, top market value because that's not the player he is. So his won't be cheap. McDuffie, top of market. Trey Smith, top of market. Nick Bolton wants top of market. I don't think Trey Smith and Nick Bolton get the deal in Kansas City they want. Somewhere else, they'll get the deal. If money is all we're talking about, then I don't believe he's going to be back with the Chiefs.
Oh, man, I don't want to start thinking about this stuff. That's like the sad, and I give him credit for this. It has become, in a way, the Sharpie tweets or whatever from Seth Davis. Is that who does those?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Seth Davis. Adam Schefter tweeting out your pending free agents when your season officially ends in the NFL. Damn. That tweet is depressing.
It happens in a hurry. If you go on a deep playoff run, it happens in a hurry. Like the Chiefs during these back-to-back runs, you know, by the time the parade's over, you're like a week, 2 weeks away from having to make your March 1st decisions on some guys or whatever. It's amazing how short the offseason is when you're there. Someone says, I think you missed another big money guy, Hollywood Brown. He could definitely earn himself some money. It's the reason why he's not going to be in the category of Trent McDuffie, but that's another good answer. You're right. For someone else that could make himself a lot of money in the postseason, yeah, I would say Hollywood Brown's another guy. That's a good one.
I also think, I don't know, man.
It's cap, though.
I mean, he would have to go three games for 400 yards.
He barely played
like
this year. There's only
how is
so
he
going to
get paid big? The other part about like free agent wide receivers is the NFL, I'll just be honest, the availability of wide receivers in the NFL draft would make me never want to pay a wide receiver. Are you nuts? You could take a wide receiver at 11, and they're immediately 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Brian Thomas Jr. is immediately a number one wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr., not quite the same level as I thought he was going to be, but like still a really good wide receiver. Xavier Worthy was the sixth or seventh wide receiver taken. He finished with 750 all-purpose yards and 9 touchdowns. Would you be real tempted to pay a 28-year-old Hollywood Brown 4 for 15? I wouldn't.
Yeah, some team.
I wouldn't.
Some team might. I still think, depending on what the postseason looks like, what, you know, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm obviously trying to get him back on a 1 year, incentive-laden deal. Again, say, let's run this thing back. Then we think he can blow up and have a massive year, and then he'll still be under 30 and get a big payday the following year. That's what I would look for. We'll see. I think, do they win a ring or not? Does Hollywood Brown get a ring or not as part of this equation? If you're Hollywood Brown and you get a ring,
maybe you go
it makes it easier
payday.
To go get paid.
I'm just not sure the payday's there. Like, the truth is with Hollywood, I think he did the one-year $10 million deal so he could get paid. If there's a long-term deal for him, I think it's like two. With like essentially what is the third-year team option where they can just cut you for no money. It's a three-year deal worth $60 million. But you and I both know that that third year has a $2 million dead cap hit on it and no roster bonus, and they're just going to blow out of town on it. Wide receivers have gotten too good in the draft to be overpaying free agent wide receivers for me. If I thought it was the last thing I needed to get over the hump in order to do it, I'd probably do it. That's why, like, going back to Barber, I wouldn't trade Joe Burrow, but I'd take a call on Ja'Marr Chase.
No way.
I'm not saying I'd trade him either, but I'd take a call on Ja'Marr Chase.
There is no way. He's the best wide receiver in the league, and they have the money.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about him.
But anyways,
money.
I don't know
Someone
if a wide receiver.
Earlier, and Golden mentioned Joe Burrow in a. And very briefly in an interview with Mike Shope, I think, and someone's like, hey, you said you'd never talk about Joe Burrow. And he said, not unless they were 500 or better. And they
are better.
9-8, right?
They are 9-8.
Yes.
Nine
I don't know if there's a good
someone
enough.
Says, go ahead.
I was just going to say, regarding the wide receiver conversation, though, I don't know if this class, like wide receiver wise, in terms of like first round guys, like we're not going to see another one that's as high profile as the last two or three until we get to Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams.
In a couple years. This year, though, Travis Hunter, right, who, you know, is
but
plenty of headlines.
He didn't even lead the country in wide receiver yards or receptions, so I think it's up for debate, but that might just be me.
You don't think – now, are you
– I think he'll be
still
good,
think he's
but
the first receiver off the board, though, but mainly because he can play both positions.
Yeah, I think – I mean,
he's going to be the first wide receiver.
If we're talking about best wide receiver, then Titterell McMillan from Arizona is the better wide receiver.
Yeah, Arizona had a terrible year. I don't know.
Correct. And well, McMillan, he was the only guy on the roster. Like he's the best wide receiver in the draft. Travis Hunter's not, but McMillan's going to go like fifth overall or top 10, and Travis Hunter will go. But I don't know if there's not like a big name guy where Brian Thomas Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr. I know Travis Hunter's a big name, but are we sure that he's going to be like a 1,200 yard guy off the bat? I wouldn't be so certain at least, but. Like, I might pay a guy now. I think we lost him again. We'll see if we can get him back here so they can make the predictions for the show. 913-586-7965. Chiefs-Texans this weekend. Text me in. No more wide receiver talk. Who do you think is going to win the game? 913-586-7965. While we try to get Alex and Cody connected back in here so they can give their predictions. Chiefs predictions are brought to you by Volkswagen Lee Summit. I think everybody, if you're smarter than everybody else, I guess, if you're smart like Alex and Cody are and like this whole station is essentially, and I'm sure you guys are making the Chiefs pick as well, it's just got to be the Kansas City Chiefs in this one. It's just a matter of what you think the game exactly is going to be and what it, isn't going to be or won't be. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Texans, to me personally, are going to cover the game. Azeez Al-Shaair, as Patrick Creighton mentioned with Alex and Cody not too long ago, you can catch the interview if you missed it, on our podcast page. He mentioned him being back. He's the green dot. He's the captain of the defense. A massive deal, obviously, to have him back. Joe Mixon is questionable. Jordan Schultz just tweeted out that he's expected to play to give it a go. Not a surprise there. But I think Houston keeps it close. I think they cover. Maybe get a late touchdown. The Chiefs win the game, though. I say 27-23. It's one of those games where I think we're going to see Patrick Mahomes run a little bit more. Maybe we see an Azeez Al-Shaair penalty. But I think Patrick Creighton mentioned it, and Alex and Cody, too, especially, is it's not even a cold weather thing, to me at least. It's not even a cold weather thing. It's Arrowhead Stadium, and yes, I know I haven't been there yet. I know I need to be there to get there eventually. I will. I promise. But there's something about that environment in the playoffs where I think I was talking to Rob about this during a commercial break. There's something about waiting, and waiting and waiting for a game. We haven't had a meaningful game, it feels like, in a long time. Haven't had a meaningful game, and it feels like in a while for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, you're just waiting and anticipating. This week felt like it has been taking forever to get to this point because everybody on Monday was like, thank God, we know who the Chiefs are playing, and we're excited to see them play in a playoff game. Like, the wait is finally over tomorrow. We're almost there. Mac and I are going to be getting you set and ready for the game tomorrow as well. Boys, you're back. I'm saying Chiefs 27-23. I don't know what you guys have, but I think it's going to be a closer game, but I think the Chiefs end up getting the win like pretty much everybody else on the planet thinks as well.
Okay. Yeah, those game predictions we'll get to right now.
Yeah, game predictions brought to you by Volkswagen Lee Summit, where you can get great deals on 2025s right now. Yeah, Drew, we will get to our Chiefs predictions, Golden Knight score. We're going to go to the NFC side first and hope we stay on here. I can't believe we dropped the last second. How annoying.
I know it.
Anyway. Lions, what's your official score prediction of the Lions game? They've obviously
It's the highest total of the week. I told you
for a reason.
I don't believe the Commanders can slow down the Lions. I think this is a 38-28 win.
I think it's like 34-24.
Okay. Yeah, 38-28 is what comes to mind. I think Jaden Daniels, I don't think he's going to like fall apart and have a disastrous day. I just think you're asking him to be almost perfect. And even that may not be good enough because I don't see the Commanders having a defensive answer. So I do think the Lions will move on and host an NFC title game next week against the Rams. We'll get to that game and the score if you want it, but I believe it'll be against the Rams.
Okay, and then on the other end, let's say the Rams-Eagles. I just think that game's close. I told you it's 50-50. I'll take the Eagles 24-23. Gold, I have a hard time shaking McVay and Stafford as a team who's won a Super Bowl for a reason in a very open NFC playoff field. I just think the Eagles have the better roster. They've had the better roster all year, the better team all year, so, yeah, I'll take the Eagles.
I like the Rams to cover the six and a half now, I guess. And I also have a sprinkle on them on the money line. I think that's the upset for the weekend. I'm going to stick with my Rams bandwagon at this point in time, Matthew Stafford. The one thing that concerns me is the updated weather forecast in Philly. But I think we saw the offensive line held up well. It's a lower-scoring game. And this, which you could say in past, would that favor Philly or whatever? I think the Rams are fine playing. Like the Rams this year, yes, they put up 44 against the Bills that one game. Otherwise, I think the Rams are fine playing a 20-17 type of game, if that's how ugly this thing has to be.
If you just pretended like the week started in six, do you realize what the Rams are going to be? They'd probably be the number one seed or the number two seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm. They started 1-4. So I'll go Rams in that game, Rams-Lions. And on the AFC side, Sunday Night Football, I've said it throughout the week. I'm going to go Baltimore this one, but I totally get the argument on either side. This is a close game. Two MVP candidates. Either guy could win MVP. I think it'll be Lamar. I don't like the matchup for Buffalo here. I do think Derrick Henry, much like the earlier season matchup, I think he's going to have plenty of success on the ground. I think Derrick Henry is going to run for a buck 20.
I mean, just ran for 299, so you're a hater, I guess, in that regard. I don't want to be all on the same side.
You're for 299.
Didn't he run for that last week?
He didn't have 300 yards rushing last week. Did no chance.
The offense, I know, had 300 at halftime or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's because Lamar.
I don't know if it was.
Remember, they were matching up with Henry. Lamar had a ton of run. Derrick Henry individually did not have 299 yards. No way.
186.
Okay, I was like, I swear I would have heard that. I was like, no way.
Okay. I was like, someone 299. I was like, 186 and two though.
I mean,
which ain't bad.
No.
He's got 300 over the last two games, at least based on that. But no, when you look at So we're different on the Rams-Eagles, at least, to this point. I kind of actually do buy into the thing I said to Shope. I think the Ravens are a worse matchup for the Bills. The Bills are a worse matchup for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are a worse matchup for the Ravens. I think the Ravens win. I think the Ravens win in a close game, 24-23. I don't think anyone's running on anybody. I think that this will just be a cold weather AFC North style, even though I know the Bills aren't in that. It'll feel like a drag-out division game, 24-23 Ravens.
Who do you have on that one, Drew? Or did you give that answer when we dropped?
No, I was just talking about the Chiefs. I was talking about Arrowhead and some of the keys to the game. I'm along the lines of you guys for the most part. I think the Ravens win the game in that one. I think that the Eagles do pull it out in that game, and then the Lions are going to beat the Commanders. I think the Commanders cover, though. I think it'll be closer.
I hope so. I don't think it will, but I would like that.
Hopefully,
to happen.
Yes.
Chiefs, of course, Chiefs, Texans, we've been talking all week. I think we all can tell. We're all picking the Chiefs to win, I assume. But what's the score look like? Is this going to be a sweater? Is this going to be comfortable? This year, there hasn't been many comfortable games. The Texans, I would argue, were one of them. The exact score I think I gave on our social post or whatever was 34-23, so I'll stick with that. Chiefs do get over 30 points for the second time this year. 34-23, I just don't know how the Texans are going to be able to slow down the Chiefs offense. And you're like, oh, I know how. Will Anderson and Derek Stingley. Here's the issue. I think there's just so many weapons, and now that Joe Tooney, we know, is playing left tackle, according to multiple reports, makes me feel way better. Patrick Mahomes is going to be willing to run the football more. I think there's a chance he gets an anytime touchdown with his legs. He goes over his rushing total. Patrick Mahomes, come playoff time, is willing to do more with his feet, and that's something the Texans did not deal with all that much in the earlier season matchup. Give me Kansas City to hold them in check and win comfortably.
I think 27-20, I don't think the Texans ever possess the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead. So that gives
That's
you a sense of where I think you are.
It's comfortable.
They might, you know, they might score and make it a one-score game, but then the Chiefs will go back and score a field goal and make it a two-score game. I just think that this is one of those ones where every time the Texans maybe think they got something going, the Chiefs put them back out at arm's length, and they're just unable to do it. So, yeah, I like the Chiefs 27-20. I think it's a comfortable win. I think we'll be talking about the Arrowhead Invitational once again after a one-year hiatus back in Kansas City. And their seventh, Patrick Mahomes, I think on Monday we'll be coming in on the show talking about Patrick Mahomes' seventh consecutive appearance in the AFC title game, which we'll make a bigger deal about on Monday.
Yeah,
but
well,
let that soak in for a minute, man. If they win tomorrow.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Drew? How do you
Drew.
One? I'm a little nervous to hear this.
I already gave the pick. I think Chiefs win 27-23. I think the game might be similar to what Cody said, where I think they get to 27 and make it double figures, and then Houston might get a later touchdown or something like that. They don't go for the two.
Backdoor cover.
Yeah.
You guys both think a backdoor cover's happening.
Backdoor cover.
Yeah,
don't get
so.
The onside kick, and the Chiefs win it.
Okay.
You wouldn't have made a lot of money betting the Chiefs in the spread this year. Matter of fact, you'd have lost quite a bit of money.
They were not good against the spread overall, but they've been better as of late, other than last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, where they lost 38-0. Hard to cover a spread if you don't score any points, turns out.
Yeah, that typically makes it tough. Yeah.
Also, if you give up 38
yeah.
in the same game.
Really tough. It's really tough.
The Chiefs were not plus 40, it turns out, in that game.
Yeah. What's your guys' plan, real quick, for the weekend, though? I mean, are you guys going to a bar? Are you staying at home? You watching? How are you guys?
I have a hard time watching a bar. A lot of times when I watch the game, I watch at home. No, I'm not against it. Someone got a bar they want me to come to, I'm open to that.
Yeah, I'm heading out there. I'll cover the game a little bit, and hopefully bring us some locker room, a happy locker room. That's the hope, right? After that one, we'll be talking on Monday. Drew?
Same for me.
You got one more chance to go to Arrowhead, man. You got one more chance.
I know.
2025 it is.
I'm going to be doing the show with Mac tomorrow from 9
That's
to noon,
right.
Getting you guys ready, and then I will be watching it from home, I think. They were giving me a hard time on the text line. I still have not been to Arrowhead. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
They won't have any.
What about
rally towels?
Yeah, they might, actually.
They better. They better.
So
come on.
I did see there's a flyover pregame, some helicopters. I'm excited.
Oh, you don't like
All
the
right.
helicopters.
Not as much as the fighter jets, it turns out, as well. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Red Friday. Enjoy the rest of it. Tomorrow, Chiefs right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.